Good morning. Super excited to have everyone with us this morning. This side is a little lopsided here. You guys are the brave ones, right? You're over here by yourselves. Very good. Very excited to have everyone here this morning. Lots of announcements that we want to go through here. I'll hit some high notes here. Just as a reminder, today is our monthly business meeting. So when we finish service this morning, we'll have printouts. The printouts are out there in the hallway for our information for everyone. So if you are a member, we would encourage you to please stay for the business meeting. If you're not a member, feel free to leave. But if you want to stay and watch a church do a business meeting correctly and God-honoring, I would encourage you to stay. We do a really good job at that. We see here there's opportunity for meeting the needs, lots of opportunities to serve. The one that I have an asterisk on is the youth. The youth are leaving for camp Thursday, June 10th. Out there in the hallway, there was a bulletin board with names of all of the individuals that will be attending youth camp. And so what we had asked you to do is to grab a name for a prayer partner, to pray for that individual, maybe make a little goodie bag for them. There's the bulletin board. Thank you, Steve. So it doesn't look like that anymore because all the names are gone. But here's the deal. If you did not get a chance to get a name, you can still pick somebody. You can still get somebody to pray for. You can still put some stuff in a bag for them. You can still do that. But here's the important thing. If you're taking notes, write this down. You have to have those bags or whatever they're going to be in, those containers, whatever you're going to put them in, back to Cresha by Wednesday, right? Because they leave Thursday. So if you took that name, if you're still looking for a name, if you'd still like to serve a youth member that way, get with Cresha, but you have to have it back to her by Wednesday because they get out of here on Thursday. Also, pray for the youth. Pray for the camp they're going to. We pray that if they don't know the Lord, many will come to know the Lord, and great things will come. If nothing else, fun and discipleship will occur, right? And so be looking for that. Other opportunities, right, is that this Saturday there will be a wedding, right? You are all invited to a wedding. My guess is it's probably going to be in Spanish. If you can speak Spanish, even better. If not, maybe you can come and learn some Spanish. I don't know. But that will be happening here this Saturday. I got a message the other day, and Raphael wanted to make sure everyone knew they were invited. So every single one of you are invited if you would like to show up. All right? Maybe they'll have tamales. Maybe you'll get lucky. I can't promise you that. But they do make good tamales. I have had them. They are delicious. All right. Other opportunities you have here, you see JE Day Camp. Make a note of those dates. Also, we have our graduate, honoring our graduates, June 27th. I think we have three there. Yes, we do. You see that. Make plans to be there for that. Big thing today is that we as a church are having a pretty big outreach event starting today. This is known as the Gospel to Every Home. We've been praying for this for quite a while. We've been discussing it for quite a while. Today is the day it starts, right? And so if you're interested in serving in this mission trip, stay after church. Cindy's going to feed you, so that's worth it right there just to stay and get some of Cindy's food. And then we're going to pack some bags, and then we've got it divvied up. We're going to go throughout our area, and we're going to do some front door evangelism. We're going to invite people to VBS. We're going to invite people to church, and hopefully we're going to have opportunities to have gospel conversations with people, right? And so there's a reason it kind of all worked out together. Our Sunday school material for the last quarter was all about evangelism. I've been speaking about evangelism on a pretty regular basis, and this is all coming together beginning today. Right? And so if you can't make it today, that's okay. Pray for us. If you can't make it today, be here next Sunday. And then we're going to do it. There's going to be more Sundays than just this Sunday and next Sunday. But if you're interested in doing that, we would love to have you. And if you can't be there, please pray for us, right? And then also on there, Vacation Bible School, June 20th through 24th. It was a praise that we got all the spots filled, right, Courtney? But don't use that as an excuse like, oh, well, I was going to come, but now they're all filled. No, we can still find a spot for you to help and to serve if you feel so led to help in Vacation Bible School. It's a massive outreach. It's a lot of work for our church, but it always produces an amazing results in the lives of these kids. Right? And the adults are blessed as well, right? So if you can be there, that would be great too. Again, welcome. If you're a visitor, we're glad to have you here this morning. What we're going to do here now is I'm going to pray for us, and then Kirk and Crystal are going to prepare our hearts for worship. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the opportunities that you've given us to gather for Sunday school this morning. We thank you for the opportunities you give us now to gather for corporate worship. Lord, we pray that at this time we're able to set aside the distractions of the world, to truly focus on you, Lord, to lift up you in praise, and to truly focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, guys. It is good to be here. I have been gone most of the month of May. Just been busy. We did a little bit of traveling, and but got back up here this morning and was practicing and just realizing how much I miss this and miss you all, and some of the power of music and the way God's able to move in us through song. So we got a lot of exciting stuff coming up, but without further ado, let's sing some songs together. We'll do that.
I come to the garden alone while the
fortunate group of people that get to accompany the kids to youth camp this week. We're leaving Thursday and coming back Monday. And if that's wrong, somebody needs to tell me because I'm going to miss the bus. And I'm supposed to be driving one of them. I've been once before, I think just once. And as you guys know, I think worship serves a lot of beautiful purposes. But one of those is that it's a good time to pray, right? And so we've got some, to me, praying for our kids and our youth is one of our heaviest responsibilities. You know, I'm flattered just by the thought of you guys praying for my own kids that are going to be at the camp. I think we're taking about 2021. And I'd also like to ask you to pray for me, pray for Christy, Krisha. It seems like God is always doing something beautiful and huge in the hearts of these young people at these events. And it takes a lot of wisdom and discernment sometimes to sit down and have those conversations with the kids. You know, the way to God is through Jesus Christ, right? But we are all coming from different experiences and backgrounds and places, and sometimes there's some blocks, right? Like the reason everybody's not born a Christian and doesn't become one easily necessarily is because of the stuff in your life. And so as one of the leaders there, having the discernment to be able to, kids can't always articulate what it is that's bothering them, what's in the way, what they need to get through. And so for us, if you would pray for us, like just wisdom, patience, discernment, how can I speak love, wisdom, truth into this life to just push this kid towards Jesus, right? And not just for us. We've got a lot of amazing youth here that might not be having necessarily those like one-on-one heavy conversations with kids that don't know the Lord yet, but they're going to be spending the majority of the time with their peers, right? And so for them to have the mindset of, man, I'm here to get like supercharged, but also like how can I give the Jesus that I have away to these kids that are on this trip with me that I might not have even met. There's all that awkward like ice-breaking stuff that's got to happen. And so just to give you a little bit of like, if you'd pray in those ways for us and whatever ways come to you as well, of course. Man, we got some cool songs here coming up. And I'm just gonna let them do their thing. I'm not gonna keep jabbering about them here, okay? Here we go.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
That again, come out of sadness.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal.
Amen.
Lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. Oh, who are broken? Lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. down your burden, lay down your shame. For all who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. There's joy for the morning. Oh, sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. Oh, who are broken? Lift up your face.
Scripture to read from Psalm 57:7. It says, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make a melody. And some Sunday mornings, it's just time to party, right?
Blessed be your name, and the land that is plentiful, with streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in a desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, back to breathe. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to freeze. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I'm gonna say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take. You give and take away. You give and take away. But my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Amen.
Sing this with me.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are, fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are. Fill me with your heart and lead. love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are. Fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be afraid. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in the around me. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. God, as we begin to transition this time into a time where we sit and we listen, God, I pray that we wouldn't just listen with our heads, but that we would have our hearts open to you. God, as we go from here today too, God, we just want to go with you. God, we don't leave you in the building. That's ridiculous, God, but sometimes we live our lives that way. And God, move in our hearts. Change our community. Help us to be agents of what you're doing here. We love you. It's in your son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Psalms 57:5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving God, we come to you this time thanking you, Father, for the blessings this day and the freedom we have to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ to worship you. As we come to this time in the service, give back to you, Father, what you have so richly blessed us with. We pray that it be used for your glory and your honor. I ask you, Father, to be with Michael this morning as he brings us a message, and that we be receptive to the word and be the godly people the days ahead that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, our children will be dismissed. It's a children's church. We pray for them and for their teachers. I was super excited this morning, and I'm very thankful for Crystal and Kirk and preparing our hearts for worship. And one of the reasons I'm so thankful for them, and I'm thankful for them every Sunday, but I'm really thankful today for them, is that, you know, one of the reasons we have music before worship is it truly prepares our heart to receive God's message, right? It prepares us, it gets us ready to hear God's message. And the reality of today is that this is a very difficult message to hear, right? This is a hard message for us as Christians to hear, and it is even a harder message for us as Christians to put into action, right? And so as we gather today, we continue our series in Matthew of looking at his parables, and we'll throw in some of his miracles there too. But last week we did the parable of the sower. We talked about the different types of souls. And that was a little bit of a hard message, because when you do the math on that, only 25% of the people who hear the gospel will continue to grow and will find the good soil. And that's difficult to hear, because we as Christians, we would love it if it was 100%. But Jesus simply shared with us is that that is not the case. That is not what occurs. And so we have a continuation here today in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. We have a continuation in a parable that is very similar to the sower, the parable of the soils, the parable of the sower, depending on what translation you have of Scripture. And today we'll be talking about the parable of the weeds is what we'll be talking about. It's a very, very straightforward parable. So straightforward to the point, you're like, how are we going to talk about this? What time is it? For 30 minutes. Well, trust me, we will for sure talk about it for 30 minutes, right? But it is very straightforward, and this is another one of the parables that we're very blessed with, is that a few scriptures later, Jesus then gives us the exact explanation of the parable. So it leaves zero interpretation, right? So it's very, very straightforward. And so what we will see here today is that as we gather as a church, as we ever gather as like-minded individuals, we would love to believe that every single person there will enter into eternity with Jesus and with God and the Holy Spirit for eternity. That's what we would hope and pray for. But what this parable tells us today is, unfortunately, that is not the case. Not everyone will enter into heaven. This is a very offensive message, right? Because it is very exclusionary, right? There is only one way to do this. And the reality is there will be consequences, right? Before we get going too far, let's take a look at God's word. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. God's word says this. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' Them being the weeds. But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up and the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And so let's go a little bit farther down. This is in Matthew chapter 36 through 42. And again, we have the blessing of having Jesus tell us exactly what this parable means. God's word says this, beginning in 36, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In a place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for our time this morning together, for our small group study in Sunday school, for our time of praise and worship through song. And now, Lord, as our time of corporate worship, we thank you for this. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, as difficult as it is, we thank you for the fact that this is offensive to our sin nature, that this is difficult for us at times to understand. But Lord, we know that you are 100% holy, 100% righteous, and 100% correct all the time. So Lord, we thank you for this truth that you give us. We thank you for you attempting to assist us with understanding our sin nature and for sending your son, Jesus Christ, the only solution for that problem that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so let's give a little bit of context, right? We're getting later in Jesus' ministry effort. He's speaking more in parables. If you remember last week, the simple definition of parable is it means to come alongside. And so a parable is just a earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. That's really a simple understanding of what a parable is. And Jesus is speaking in that. And one of the things, and we didn't spend a lot of time talking about it last week, but one of the major reasons Jesus spoke in parables is so the people who had ears to hear understood the parable, but those that had hard hearts but were lost did not understand the parable, right? And so it's easy to get in there and be like, well, why did the disciples have to always ask for explanations? Well, the disciples were learning, right? They did not have the advantage that you have, to where we essentially stand on the shoulders of theologian giants who have helped us understand this and worked a lot of this out for us. They were having to learn this as they were going. And so the disciples definitely had ears to hear, but they were just trying to figure out what a lot of this meant. And so that's why we see them asking there today. Again, this is another very agrarian parable that makes a lot of sense to us. But I want to give you a little bit more context. Is first of all, let's take a look at what wheat looks like. None of you all need to be shown what wheat looks like. Most of you have probably seen wheat. You know what it looks like. That's wheat. That's what wheat looks like. That's what produces, grows and gives you bread. And if you're like me and you enjoy cereal, it produces a lot of your cereal. This is where it comes from, right? Wheat is very, it looks like that. Remember that image? We'll use that here in a second. But the weeds in this parable, right? Depending on what translation of scripture you have, you may see this the parable of the weeds, or the wheat and tares, or the parable of the weeds. More than likely, the next image is what the weeds are, right? And so that weed is what's known as darnel, right? You see it in scripture. And as you can see, now I know you all are very, very smart people. You're like, well, that doesn't look anything like wheat. Grow a whole field of that and throw some of that in there, it becomes very difficult to tell the difference between the wheat and the weeds, or the darnel here. The tricky thing about this weed right here is this weed is actually poisonous. If you let it grow and you let it produce seeds, the seeds are black seeds. Best case scenario, they cause you to get sick to your stomach. Worst case scenario, if you eat enough, they will kill you, right? And so that's a little bit of the context of what Jesus is sharing here with this parable, is you've got a field growing full of wheat, but it's mixed in with that weed right there, and it becomes very difficult to tell the difference. And what we see here is the laborers then come to the owner of the land, and they said, what should we do? And he says, well, we can't do anything right now, because if we try to go through there and pick out all of those weeds, we will destroy the wheat. And so what we have to let happen is we have to let them fully grow to maturity, to where it becomes much easier to tell the difference. And at that time, we will separate the weeds from the wheat, and the wheat will go off to be productive and do good things. The weeds go off to be gathered into bundles and burned, right? And so as we saw there in the explanation, is that the owner of the land here is the Son of Man, that is Jesus, right? That's what he represents here. The wheat represents those that are true Christians. The weeds in this story represent those who are false Christians, who are possibly in the church, that are possibly in your families, that are in society. Now, the scary thing, maybe the scary is not the wrong word, the unfortunate thing about this parable and the reality that it shares with us is this, is I'm very, very concerned that many of the weeds don't realize they're weeds, right? This is something, and this is, you know, I'm Kurt and Crystal, thank you all so much for your wonderful songs and preparing your hearts, because here comes some hard truths right here. There's some hard truths, right? The reality is this, there will be millions of baptized individuals in hell, right? It's a hard reality, right? There will be millions of people in hell that are on church rolls, right? Billy Graham, I was reading some stuff preparing for this. Billy Graham said his greatest mission field were church roles, to where individuals simply said prayers or simply got in those baptismal waters, but never truly committed their life to the Lord. Therefore, in this parable, they represent weeds. And what's scary, what concerns me, maybe scary is the right word, what concerns me so much about this is so many of them have no idea that they're weeds. They think they're good to go. They think they're saved. They really believe that on the day of judgment, they're ready to go, even though they're not committed or living their life for the Lord at all. Because, unfortunately, someone has told them that's what it takes, is that baptism. Is baptism important for Christians? Absolutely. Does it save you? Absolutely not. Right? Being on a church roll does not save you. Right? Being a member of a church isn't important? Absolutely. It's a very God-honoring, very right thing to do. But none of this stuff saves you. The only thing that saves you is a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? One of the things that, another reason, I feel like I might say the word offensive 100 times today, Lori. Keep track of that. One of the things that's also difficult about this, that it's difficult for people to hear, is that here's the reality. All children are creations of God. Amen? But what we see in this scripture is not all creations are children of God. There's a big difference there. To be a child of God, to be living in right relationship with Jesus, makes you a child of God. You've been adopted into that family, right? That's why we as Christians, we should understand adoption better than anyone. We've been adopted into that family of God, right? Nothing we did to earn that. We should not be there based on our righteousness or our unrighteousness, sorry, of our sin nature. We should not be there. But God loves us so much, He adopts us into His family. But that does not mean everyone will be adopted. And that's where this is an offensive message. One of the very common messages you'll hear today, sometimes they're very bold with it and they just come out and say it. Other times they kind of veil it, is that it's this concept, is that all paths lead to God. That's heresy. That is wrong. That is not true. This parable, and it's throughout Scripture, right? But this parable points it out. There's only one way to enter into a right relationship with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Right? And so it's just when we hear this message, when we're thinking about this, what I pray for you is I would pray this with all my heart, is that every single one of you here today in person, every single one of you at home with us this morning are the wheat. I pray for that. I really do hope that for you. I really, really do. But the reality is that sometimes weeds get in. And sometimes weeds don't know they're weeds. And so what are we supposed to do with this situation? What are we supposed to help with this? Is that number one, our relationship. You learned this morning in your Sunday school class. Our relationship with God has to be priority. That has to be number one in your life, right? You can't let all this other stuff get in the way. Number two, what we do is we then go out and try to help individuals enter into a right relationship with Jesus. Right? Through evangelism, through the Gospel to Every Home Project, through opportunities to have gospel conversations. That's what our role is in this. But the reality is this, there are weeds. Weeds do exist in this world. The world tries to tell you that we're all wheat. God's word does not tell you that. So hear that, right? Let's take a look at wheat. Now, if we were going to take a quiz, don't worry, we're not taking quizzes today. If we were going to take a quiz, Sarah, I know you love quizzes. We're not doing quizzes. If we were doing quizzes today, my guess is if I asked you in Scripture, what are you most like? I'm going to assume most of you would say sheep, and I would say you're right. Because it's constant reference. Like, you know, we talk about how the shepherd pastures the sheep and leads us. Side note, being compared to a sheep is not really positive, right? Don't when you read that, be like, I love being a sheep. No, sheep are not great to be compared to. Kirk, you can probably speak to that a little bit. Sheep are not the brightest, right? They're not the brightest animals, but that is a very good analogy that we use, is that we need to be led by the good shepherd, which is Jesus, right? But we're also very similar to wheat. And so in your first point there, the act of sowing, we're going to talk about wheat probably way more than you want to know. Here's some truth about wheat. Wheat, compared to the height of wheat, you know, wheat gets pretty tall. Compared to the height of wheat, the roots are very shallow. That's why wheat is really easy to uproot, because it has more of a fibrous root system than a deep root system like you would see on a tree. And so why are we like wheat? Why should we emulate that? Is that wheat is not very attached to earthly things. And this is something that we, as sinful people, have to always be intentional in thinking about, is that this is all temporary. None of this lasts forever. You've heard me say this. Sometimes I say it jokingly. Sometimes I say it serious. I'm going to try to say it in a serious way this morning. I've been to lots of funerals, right? Been a part of some, attended a lot of them. I have never yet to see a U-Haul in the procession full of someone's stuff. It just doesn't work. You don't get to take it with you. And so, like wheat has a very shallow root, it's not very attached to the things of this world. We need to understand that. We need to understand that we are here temporarily. And someday, the only thing that will matter for what you've done here is what you've done for Jesus Christ. And that's a very broad category. Don't hear that and be like, oh gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, that's a very broad category, right? Being, honoring your mother. I could list these the rest of the day. Honoring your father and mother. Speaking truth into people's lives. There are so many things that you do for the glory of God, and those are the only thing that's going to matter someday, right? So just be aware. Is it right to provide a home for your family? Absolutely. Is it right to provide clothes? Trust me, you all want me to have clothes. It's good and it's right to have those things. But the reality is, your nice fancy clothes someday won't matter. Your nice big fancy house someday won't matter. The type of car you drive someday will not matter. The only thing will matter for what you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is coming one day. We'll get to that. That's the third point. I'm a little ahead of myself. That's the reaping. We'll get there. This is another one, and this kind of goes hand in hand with the first one, is that wheat doesn't last very long. It grows, it ripens, and it's gone very fast. It's a very fast growing season. Guess what, church? You and I won't be here that long. On average, I just looked this up recently for a different reason, and we've actually had this message once before, is that on average, probably 82 years. That's on average, that's what you've got, right? Some of you will beat that. People like me won't even get close to that probably, right? My genetic history does not lend itself that I'm going to make it to 82 years. But the reality is here, we are here for a short period. And while we're here, you also heard this morning in your Sunday school class, I'm sure, is that what matters is how you live your life. You don't live your life just in the massive things like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do for a career? Or who am I going to marry? Or what am I going to do? You know, we think we live life in these massive moments. The reality is, I remember reading this article once, most of us have 5 or 6 big moments in our life. 5 or 6 big ones. The majority of our life is lived in the day-to-day, right? And so what matters to God, this is a very consistent message from Old Testament to New Testament, is that it really matters to God how we live our life every day. The decisions you make every day matters, right? Because you need to be always keep in mind, this could be the last day. This could be it. There are so many people, and this will make you a little bit nervous maybe when you think about this, but everyone one day will have the last time they brush their teeth, will have a last time they get to tell somebody they love them. Everyone has a last day here. And what Scripture tells us is that we should be living our life like today is that day. That's why it matters what you do. That's why the most important thing you can do is to be in right standing, good relationship with Jesus Christ, because that could end today. It could be today, right? You could hear a trumpet sound in the sky, and it could be over like that. Or you could go out, and you could have an accident, or something can happen, right? Only God knows. Today could be the last day. Be aware of that, right? The last thing here, and if you'll remember that image of wheat, I saw this is not mine, I found this someplace else, I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to put that in, is that when wheat matures and it gets the head of all the grains grows up, what does wheat naturally do? It bows over, right? And so as it matures, it begins to bow, almost in a position of humbling itself. Thank you, Steve. And so you see how it is bending over there. That is a great analogy for us as Christians. As we continue through the sanctification process, as we grow in the Lord, we should be less prideful, more humble. And so as we grow, our heads should bow more and your nose should stick up less. As you become, and you know who I'm talking about. You know prideful people. My guess is on some level you may struggle with pride. But we, just like wheat, as we mature, should become more humble. Why do we become more humble? Because as we become more sanctified, we understand and we realize what God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are doing for us. And it should humble you. Because guess what? You don't deserve it. That's why it's called grace. It's an amazing thing, right? So that's kind of what we have there for the first. Now here we move on to the second point here, the act of growing. Right, and this is the hard reality. I'm going to give you some math here. I'm not great at math, but I do kind of like math. Right, is that they did a recent study, and 60% 60% of Americans said that Christianity was highly important to their life. 60%. So let's do some math. I agree with you, Crystal. I shake my head when I see that. But, you know, that's why you have to be careful with polls, is a lot of time when you take a poll, you answer the question the way you think you should instead of being true about what you're saying. But let's just do the simple math here. If 60% of Americans are Christian, right? In 2019, the population was 328 million. It's gone up some more, but I didn't want to redo my math. That's 196 million Christians in America. That's what should exist. And now, so I'll ask you this. You answer this for yourself. Do you feel like there's 196 million Christians in America? Do you feel like 60% of the people are living their lives, legislating, making laws for us that are God-honoring? Ask that for yourself. I can answer that for me. I think no. I don't feel that way, right? And then, of course, after I had finished all the math, I went and actually looked this answer up, and this is actually something that someone had asked. And their math was about 58% of America are Christians, right? This is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. I don't believe that is true. I don't believe that number of people are living their lives dedicated to Jesus, having gospel conversations every day, making laws, legislating for us as the way that God wants them to. I just don't believe that number is correct. But what I do believe is God's word. And what concerns me is that of that 60%, and I don't know this number, don't worry, this is not any math of Michael. I don't know what of that 60%, what percentage of those are weeds, what percentage of those are true wheat, right? Like Jesus says here in this parable, the reality is this, the weeds are for sure mixed in with the wheat. They're in there. They're for sure affecting us. They're doing things with us. Like he says in this parable, when he shared with us, is that the reason that God allows this to happen is that our roots are entangled with one another. The field is the world. Church, this is what I'm going to tell you right now, and you know, I can't fix this for you. I can't. But I can help you be aware of it, is that the world is trying to affect you. The world is affecting you. Your gospel, your beliefs are easily getting watered down if you are not working, right? My favorite word is intentionality. If you're not being intentional in your growth, if you're not being intentional in your reading of the gospel, the world will 100% affect you. It will change you. It will cause problems in your life. It will cause you to start questioning God's word. It is a very dangerous thing. I could add a lot of things here. This is why scripture reading is vital to you. This is why coming to church, not this building, but coming to church. Who's the church? Open up the church and here's the people. That's us. We're the church. This is why church gathering is important, because we can understand that we believe and make decisions that are opposite of the world. One of the things that, as I continue on my sanctification process, I got a long ways to go, but as I continue on this process, one of the things that gets made clear to me every day, God's word and the world are 180 degrees apart from one another, right? They couldn't be more opposite. It concerns me because it's difficult, right? We have to live in the world, but what does scripture tell us? Not to be of the world. That's a very hard thing to do, to interact with all of these weeds, to have all of our roots intertwined and not let them start stealing our nutrients, are affecting us. That's why you have to be intentional. That's why your circle of friends should be Christians, right? Should you interact with non-Christians? Absolutely. You know why? Because they're the mission field, right, Bobby? That's where our mission field is the non-Christians, is people who aren't in a right relationship with Christ. So you for sure should be interacting with them, but your core set of friends should be Christians. I said this once, it was said to me in a different way, but I'll tell you this. If you're the most sanctified person in your group of friends, find some different friends too. Make some other friends. Reach out to other people to where they can then help you and speak truth into your life, right? The way it was told to me is that if you're the smartest guy in your group of friends, you need some better friends. I add that to sanctification, right? You need that. You need to help one another. We need to come together and speak truth to one another. Some more math for you, right? So if I was to come to you and I would give you these options, obviously this is a trick, so don't fall for it, right? Would you rather have $1 million a week for a year Or would you rather me give you a penny, but it doubles every week? Which would you rather have? Obviously, you know the second is the right answer because it's a trick, right? The first one, you end up with $52 million, right? 52 weeks in a year. The second one, you end up with over $22 trillion. Because the first penny the first week becomes two pennies. Then it becomes four pennies. You guys understand how doubling of math works, right? That's how it goes. So now let's apply that to growing, right? Our act of discipleship, of speaking truth into people's lives. Would you rather disciple 10 people a year for 30 years, that would end up with 300 disciples. What a glory that would be. Or would you rather disciple one person every 2 years, but then that person then goes out and disciples two others? Well, if we follow that second path, you would end up with 32,768 disciples, right? Now, you might be thinking, well, this would have been a better analogy for last week. I don't disagree with you. I agree with that. But I'm using it today because it helps us understand the value of discipleship, why it matters. This is as we grow out. Why has God partnered with us in his mission? I don't know. Because we're not worthy. God is the only one worthy of this. But he has partnered with us, and he has given us the great commission, Matthew 28. He's given us the commission to come alongside of him, to be his hands and feet as the mission field. As we go out to share the gospel with people, and then once they become Christians, as we disciple them, this is the potential. If you remember last week when I told you, as you hold an apple in your hand, you hold the potential for an entire orchard. That's the seed, right? That's the seed that we plant. Who does the saving? God does the saving, but we have the conversation, right? So it's very important. Now, we get to the third point here, and this is the most offensive, the absolute most offensive to the world we live in today, this postmodern society that we live in. This is the act of reaping or the act of mowing, and this is what we see here in Scripture, and this is the reality. I'll tell you this, and this is what, don't shoot the messenger. I just deliver the mail. Don't get mad at me when I bring you a bill, right? Recently, Kirk asked for my address. I was like, I don't want more bills, Kirk. Do not send me any bills in the mail, right? I'm just simply sharing what God's word says, and this is offensive. Is the reality is this. There will come a day to where everyone has to stand in front of God, and every one of us will answer for our past sins. Those of us that have entered into a right relationship with Jesus Christ will then be acquitted. We're still found guilty, but we will be acquitted of our sins. Those that have not been found, that have not been acquitted, will enter into a lake of fire, as Scripture told us this morning, where there will be weeping of gnashing of teeth. Right? So again, just to kind of circle back to this, this concept that the postmodern world loves to push upon us is heresy and wrong. Not everyone goes to heaven. Not everyone will enter into eternity. Only those who are in right standing with God through the blood of Jesus Christ will enter into eternity. And when we come to this parable and we read it, and we even sang some songs this morning, you know, where we were talking about, you know, we're going to give glory to God whether things are going good according to the world or whether things are going bad. It's a really easy song to sing. We like the song. I love the song, right? It's a very easy song to sing. It's a very different thing to do, right? And so this is a very difficult thing to share with people. I've recently shared this with someone, and it didn't go well. They're like, no, I don't believe that. I think God loves everyone. Everyone's going to heaven. Like, you're right. God does love everyone, but there will be consequences to your actions. And someday, you will have to stand in front of a holy, righteous God and account for your sins. What does that look like? I have no idea. I just know for me, it's going to take a while, right? It's going to be a while as we go through all those sins. But luckily for me, guess what the ace I got in my corner is? I got Jesus Christ, who will then be able to stand up and say, yes, Michael is guilty of every single one of those. And I know God will get them all because God's God. But Jesus was like, I went to the cross for him, and he is acquitted, and I will get to enter into eternity. And so this is what I pray for you this morning, is that if you're not sure, pray and think hard about this parable. This parable is very simple and very straightforward. Even more made so more the fact that then a couple verses later, Jesus explains it to the disciples and in turn explains it to us. It is extremely straightforward. It leaves very little room for debate or discussion. But the reality is this, there will be a fire at the end. Some will end up in it, some will not. what God wants for each and every one of you and what I want for each and every one of you and every Christian here wants for each and every one of you is that we don't have anyone that we know that we had an influence over to end up in that fire. We want them all to enter into heaven. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, as difficult as it is for me to pray this and for me to understand this at times, I'm thankful for the fact that I get convicted. I'm thankful for difficult scripture. I'm thankful for hard truths. And Lord, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who gives me the strength and the ability to share those truths, most importantly, in a loving, kind way. So thank you for that. We thank you for your conviction. Lord, we thank you most importantly for your love. And Lord, we just pray that we are able to take the love that you've given us through that right relationship with Jesus Christ and show that as best as we can to others. And that's through sharing the gospel. That's through being kind to one another. And that's for having gospel conversations with other people. So Lord, we thank you for those opportunities. We ask that you continue to open our eyes to those windows of opportunities and that we can share these truths with others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
I never know when the hymns are over, so I'm sorry. I was like, oh, we got more. We're doing more, right? So go ahead. Everybody have a seat real quick. Thank you. So we're going to have the search committee is coming up to share with you some information that they have. After the search committee is finished, we'll give everyone 5 minutes to go to the bathroom, do whatever you need to do, and then we would love for you to come back and gather for the church business meeting. The more people who show up to church business meetings, the better. That's what we want. And so after they speak, we'll give you all a few minutes, and then we'll gather for our business meeting. All right. It's all yours. I'm supposed to give you a microphone, I think. There you go.
Hello, everyone. I want to take an opportunity, first of all, to thank you all for entrusting us with this task of finding a senior pastor for our church. I looked back at my text messages, and I think July the 17th was the first text that I sent out to this group of lovely individuals behind me and JT. To get started. So here we are almost a year later. So the search committee would like to present a candidate for the senior pastor position. The candidate that we would like to present is Michael David. On Saturday, June the 26th at 10 a.m., we will have a time of question and answers with the pastor candidate and his family. Light refreshments will be served, and then on Sunday, June the 27th, there will be an official trial sermon during our morning worship service. Immediately following the service, there will be a special called business meeting for voting on the senior pastor candidate. Based on the church's bylaws, and this is Article 2 from the pastor section, Section 1, the procedure for calling a pastor. Item D, election shall be by ballot. An affirmative vote of 80% of a quorum of 40% of the resident membership is required for this election. And the reason I'm kind of telling you all specifically about that is in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. So we will follow the recommendations from the deacon's proposal that was voted on and passed at one of our previous business meetings. And there are copies of that in the Hallelujah hallway, that's hard to say, out there on a table. If there's not enough to go around, just you can see me or one of these folks behind me, and we'll make sure that we get you all a copy. So that's all we have, and we thank you so much for your prayers. This has been a long task, to say the least, and I know we've spent many, many hours praying, listening to sermons, reading resumes, and a lot of other things. And I just want to thank them. It's been a blessing to serve with these folks, too. So thank you so much, and Tony is going to dismiss us in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as your church, we stand before you today, and our prayer is that we would experience more of you and less of us. Lord, we learned about the wheat and the weeds, and I pray that our church can be a safe place for Christians and for those that are interested in knowing more about you, that we could come here, because Lord, I know there's members of this church that are hurting currently, been hurting for a while. Some members that are displeased. Lord, I pray that we can grow. We've suffered through a pandemic like we've never seen. I believe it's an attack on the church itself. Sin and death is a part of the result of sin. We'll experience more things like that as we move forward. But I pray we can all search our hearts. Ask for forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. Seek forgiveness. Forgive those that we feel like that have trod on us. Because as your church, we have to be open and honest with you. And we have to love each other the way the world does not love, but the way that you love us. And I pray over the next 2-3 weeks that we all can search our hearts and encourage each other and come back with a mission in mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.